Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So begins the First Amendment, which historically was understood to mean there would be no national church at the national level in America. But beginning with a case in 1947 and then in earnest in the 1960s came a series of anti-school prayer decisions by the Supreme Court, and not just anti-school prayer, but more strict separation of church and state. Now, fast forward to California schools today, and there's a case now where a curriculum was passed in September of 2021 in which students are to be praying to Aztec gods. This, according to the Thomas More Society, which is going to be fighting this legally. Paul Jonah of the Thomas More Society joins us now to talk about this. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And, Paul, welcome back to the program. Thanks for joining us.
Great to be with you. Thank you, Jerry.
Sure. Before we get into the meat of this issue, how about your own little quick comment about the First Amendment and religion, what the founders meant versus what some of the courts have said and where we are today?
Sure. Well, let me just clarify one thing before we get into that, which is this curriculum was actually passed in earlier this year, not just in September, but we got the complaint on file now. But to answer your specific question, it's very clear. Well, I can't speak to the founding fathers so much, but I'll tell you, just looking at the cases, it's very clear that what we have here is unconstitutional. I mean, this is not only a prayer in a public school, which we know, you know, Christian prayer in public school will never be tolerated, but this is not only a prayer, it's a prayer that was drafted by public officials for use in public schools. There's no question this is unconstitutional. According to this, you know, the precedent of the U.S. Supreme Court, prayers are not allowed in school. We can learn about prayers, we can learn about different religions and history, but actually endorsing or, you know, promoting a specific religion or a specific prayer to specific deities, there's no support for that whatsoever anywhere in the case law. It's clearly unconstitutional. So that's how to answer that.
And here's some quote from you about the Aztecs specifically. The Aztecs regularly perform gruesome and horrific acts for the sole purpose of pacifying and appeasing the very beings that the prayers from the curriculum invoke. And I would add to that, this involved, of course, human sacrifices. These were practices,
yeah,
you know, stopped by the Spaniards when they came in the 1500s. But, yeah, go ahead and tell us about the Aztecs.
Well, not only so first of all, it's important for people to understand that the person who is the co-chair of this curriculum, it's called the Ethnic Studies Model Curriculum. It's 882 pages. A lot of it is nonsensical, but anyway, buried in there is this, it's called an affirmation chant or energizer. That's the section. And the guy that was the co-chair of this curriculum is a gentleman named Tolteca Cotton. And he wrote a book called Rethinking Ethnic Studies. And in that book, he talks about how the Christians who came to California committed theocide, which is that, you know, basically killing off the old gods. And now his suggestion is the way to make up for this is to chant the names of these gods who the Christians, allegedly killed. And that's so if there's any question about what the purpose of this is or what's really going on here, it's answered by the co-chair of the curriculum in his book. But in any event, it's not only is it appalling that they're prayer to Aztec gods, but when you look and you actually do the research on these different deities, I mean, whose names I can't really pronounce, but we looked them up, we read about them, and these are, in fact, the same gods who were invoked in these, like as you mentioned, human sacrifice and all the terrible things that were going on with the Aztec religion. So, the way they're going to try to justify this is to suggest that it's not a prayer, but we know it's a prayer because they're basically not only invoking the names of these gods, but they're honoring them, they're praising them, they're asking for their intercession, and it's not obvious because it's buried in this curriculum. But once you read this, and by the way, we found another prayer right before we were about to file the complaint. We noticed that there was another prayer to a different god, and this one was actually in this is a African. Let me find it. It's called Ashi. It was just buried in there. Even us, as we're scouring through this 800-page curriculum, you know, miss this initially. But then before we filed the complaint, we threw it in there. But this ASHI prayer is a ASHI, I guess, is a divine force in the Yoruba religion. And again, there's this thing, there's this prayer that's in this curriculum where, which honors this ASHI, this divine force, asks for its assistance for the school day. Just egregious. That the fact that they thought they can get away with this is just unbelievable.
What language are these prayers in? I assume English, based on the context.
They're all written in English with translation. Well, so basically, the text of the prayer is included in the original language, but then they're translated. So, and the complaint, by the way, which I think you might have a copy of, it sets forth the full text. So one of the chants or whatever you want to call it, the affirmations is in lock ek. That's what it's called. And it's a prayer where they're asking for the intercession of these five different deities, asking for things like knowledge and the ability to become more realized human beings, capable of listening to each other's hearts, willingness to act and be proactive, transformation, liberation, education, and the strength to shed naive or self-sabotaging views which may hinder us, hold us back, and it asks for, expresses thanksgiving to these deities as well. It's just, it's almost, but when I tell people about this, they think it's a joke. I mean, it doesn't sound like, it was just unbelievable. And it didn't really, kind of was swept under the rug. I don't know if it kind of, there was a little bit of press about this, but not really the kind that you'd expect for something so egregious.
Well, you know, Robert Ripley of Ripley's Believe It or Not wrote a book back in the 50s that I was looking at one time, and he was describing this stone from ancient Mexico, and he said it's the bloodiest spot on earth because this is where all these different sacrifices were done, and the people would be lining up for a long, long time that were being held as prisoners until the day of sacrifice, the sacrifices to these Aztec deities. And it was just a horrible, terrible thing. But Ripley used the phrase, it's the bloodiest spot on earth. And I thought that was absolutely fascinating. Isn't it interesting? The Supreme Court said in 1980 in one of those anti-Christian-type prayers or Judeo-Christian-type prayers, they said in 1980, Stone v. Graham, an anti-Ten Commandments case specifically, they said if the Ten Commandments were posted on the schoolroom wall, the children might read them, meditate upon them, venerate them, and obey them. And they said, you know, that may be admirable or we may want that, but that's inadmissible or unacceptable with the First Amendment because obviously the Ten Commandments begins, I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods before me. So it's a explicitly religious, statement, and they're saying, therefore, that violates the separation of church and state. Thou shalt not kill is included, of course, in that moral code, the Ten Commandments that they struck down. Now here we are all these years later, and the Aztec prayers are okay. That's amazing.
Yeah, and there's so many other objectionable components to this curriculum. This case is narrowly focused only on the prayers, but there's, you know, people who are concerned about critical race theory and other things are identifying other problems with this curriculum. But, of course, the other side seems to always overplay their hand, and if they think they have an opportunity, I think they've now gone so far. Not only have we exposed the unconstitutional nature of this curriculum, but I think, as you say, it's just clearly unconstitutional. It's there's no question, just based on their own precedent that they fought to establish with these other cases, that they have way, way, way crossed the line. I mean, this is just, you know, there's no justification for this. Like I said, they're going to try to say this isn't a prayer, but it's very obvious that it is, very clear.
You used the word theocide, and you said that the author of this, or co-author of this curriculum, used that word, and he said that the Spaniards who came to California were guilty of theocide. So the Aztec deities were worshipped then in California as well? I'm just curious. I know that California was part of Mexico at one point, so maybe that's the answer to the question.
Yeah, I mean, I should read his book. I've read parts of it, but I don't know exactly the context in which he explains that. But he does say, he makes it seem as though, yes, the people that came to, let me see here.
And while you're looking that up, let me just say real fast, the word theocide, Theos in Greek means God. Then you add the side to it, and it means to kill. So, you know, homicide is to kill a human being, and matricide is to kill your, you know, kill a mother, you know, that kind of thing. Theocide would mean to kill the deities.
Yeah. I don't know if he's referring to California or to, you know, the general region. But I do know that that he does say that this is a problem that needs to be addressed, and the way you address it is by, you know, essentially this proposal and this curriculum. Well, it's not a proposal anymore. It's passed. It's in the model curriculum,
wow.
Which is to say their names, to chant their names, and to you know, basically engage in this kind of behavior, which is just absurd to say the least.
And what if a school were to have like prayer? This is an argument you make. Can you imagine if elements of the Christian faith were proposed to be included in the public school curriculum? What if a class incorporated praying to the Blessed Virgin Mary or even reciting the Lord's Prayer? How would that be received?
Well, we obviously know the double standard that the left, you know, uses, and obviously that wouldn't be tolerated for a second. You'd have all the major public interest law firms on the left, you know, in court right away. I mean, I think they've reached a point now where it's so absurd, it's so ridiculous that they've really exposed themselves for you know, their true agenda, which is really something that's incomprehensible. I can't even articulate what their agenda is. As a lawyer, it's kind of beyond the scope of my expertise. All I can tell you is this violates the law, and I'm pretty sure you'll be hearing in the next month or so we'll have an injunction against them. So how they justify it, I don't know, or what their strategy is beyond my pay grade, but I can tell you that this is a violation of the Establishment Clause.
Hmm.
Plain and simple.
All right. Is there any other aspect you want to bring out about this, especially in light of American history and, you know, the fact that America does have Judeo-Christian roots? I mean, you and I have discussed in previous conversations about how California began, you know, as a series of those Catholic missions, you know, that were,
right,
up the coast.
Well, I think the final thing I would just say is what I'm seeing firsthand now is how organized and how committed to their agenda the left is. And it's so we were talking previously about this Junipero Serra case. Well, after we got off that interview, I just learned last week that there's a proposed law that's already been passed, actually. It's just waiting for the governor to sign it, that now makes legislative findings about how terrible of a human being Junipero Serra was, so that they can use those legislative findings to justify more erasures of his name or statues or anything like that. So they're not just changing the name of a school. They're not just adding a curriculum. They're going, you know, they're going on an all-out assault to basically reform this state and make it into something else. And I think people need to wake up and pay attention, because lots of this is just happening without lots of publicity. We know that a lot of the media is controlled by special interest groups, and I'm not sure how much it's being covered. I don't track all the media, but I can tell you that As a lead lawyer on this Junipero Serra case, I had no idea about this law that actually passed in California, which basically says in a law that Junipero Serra was basically responsible for terrible things, and this mission system was basically just resulted in all these atrocities against the natives, and which is all historically false. I mean, any honest historian who looks at the record would know that's absolutely false. That Junipero Serra and the missionary and the people he was with went out of their way to seek protection of the natives and from the abuses that were committed by the Spanish military. But it's kind of a tangent. But the reason I'm mentioning it is because it's not just a school name change here or a curriculum, you know, here or there. It's they're going out of their way, and this law is just, you know, also just appalling and just exposes the level that they're willing to go to push their agenda.
All right, we're out of time. Thanks so much for joining us, Paul Jonah, ThomasMoreSociety.org for more information. Thanks, Paul. All the best.
My pleasure. Thanks,
okay.
Jerry. You too.
Bye-bye.